From the east side to the west, this is From the Land, the Cleveland Sports and More podcast. I'm your host, Jason Gerber, and tonight we are up late for instant reaction to the Browns' Thursday night game against the New York Jets. I'm joined tonight by two of the best ever, my co-hosts, Phil Danko and Chuck Rambaldo are here. Fellas, Christmas was just a couple days ago. The new year is around the corner, and the Browns are headed to the playoffs. Don't it feel good to be a gangsta?
Damn, it feels good to be the dangsta. Yeah.
I don't know how it applies, but I like the setup. So, yes, it feels excellent to be a gangster.
It's just how I felt after some of the first half moments in the All Browns right. game today. I All just right. felt like those guys going out and celebrating by smashing a printer with baseball bats. Why don't we get into it? Our Cleveland Browns Thursday night recap. Skid marks, our weekly look at the Brown and Orange road to the Super Bowl. It no longer matters who plays. The Browns just win. Browns opened the NFL week performing well enough in the first half that they won the whole game. The offense and defense showed up together and cruised to an easier-than-it-looked win against a Jets team that looked ready for a vacation. Browns are now 11-5, alone in second place in the AFC North, and officially going to the playoffs. So give me your 60-second take on tonight's playoff-clinching white-out, white-satin win.
All day, man. I'm nervous and I'm anxious, thinking like it's not going to go right here. Like it just, they're too favored. It's at home. It's in a national spotlight. Something's going to go wrong. And geez, Louise, man, I was so wrong. The first half was just like so great. We saw more offense in that half than we're used to seeing in some games. Flacco in the first half, 300 yards, three TDs. 121 of those yards came from outside of the pocket. The statue moved a lot. Maybe I was wrong. He's more athletic than I think. And just listening to the fan base, I think they're more behind him than any other quarterback since 1999, more than Deshaun for sure, Manziel, even Baker. Plus, those play action fakes, man, those are masterpieces. They are gorgeous every time he does them. Njoku, Moore, Ford made great plays with a ball in their hands after the catch. Speaking of Ford, that first half, he was like the perfect mix of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Like, he caught the ball well, he ran the ball well, and then the second half was some boring ass shit. The defense was fantastic against a really sloppy and undisciplined team. Taki especially seemed like he was everywhere. And the play, the playoffs for this team with these injuries, what's gone on all year long. I don't know if I've ever been more satisfied as a Browns fan for sure since 1999, but then tonight, like it just shouldn't have happened and it's happening. And again, I'm just trying to enjoy the ride. Like, I keep saying that to Browns fans who are like, they're already like GMing next year. Like, we're not bringing Flacco back. What the hell? Like, just enjoy the ride, man. Just enjoy the ride.
Who's already thinking about next year?
Exactly.
Next year's only like 3 days away. I don't want to start thinking about it yet. Chuck, were you done?
I'm done, yeah.
Well, I don't know how I can add to Chuck's 60, but I'm going to, like the Browns, I think I'm going to spend 59 of my 60 seconds on the first half. Like, let's focus on the first half because that's all that really mattered. But I'll tell you what, Chuck hinted towards the Browns psyche, right? Like kind of his day, right? He was nervous. He was anxious. Like, oh God, this is not going to go well. We're coming off of 4 days rest. Everyone's getting hurt. There's no way. You just don't win this game. And you can understand why. And we watched that first half unfold and what was it? 34-17.5, right? It didn't even feel that close. It felt like it was 64-17. I mean, we're gifting the Jets any points they got, and it didn't even faze Flacco. He's like, whatever, just give me the ball again, and we'll just drive down the field.
We'll get that touchdown back. Yeah,
yeah, it's not a big deal. And watching that first half, and I guess I'll get to the second half in my last 1 second of my 60, but the first half, it didn't matter who was out there. To Chuck's point, it didn't matter that Cooper was on the bench and our running attack was worthless for weeks up until today. Everything was clicking today. They were throwing the ball down the field. They were getting down the field in 3 and 4 plays at a time. There's no answer for David Njoku. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. We're riding that through the playoffs, boys. Like, just Flacco to Njoku. Like, that's your Mahomes to Kelsey, right? Like, that's it for this Cleveland Browns team. Use it until someone stops it. No one has yet. So then the second half happened and Flacco, who was on pace to throw for 600 yards, threw for all of 9 or 13 yards, I think, in the second half. So the defenses showed up. And at that time it just, you would have liked to seen them kind of just continue to lay on the gas. But you know what? The defense was all over the place in the second half. They were stopping the Jets at every turn. And even the time they got it in the red zone, they blocked a field goal. So it was a weird game, as Thursday night games tend to be. It was an awesome outcome. And we get to see the Browns in the postseason in a year that something's going on with this team, man. Talk about Brown's psyche. Something's going on here.
I agree with parts of what you guys are both saying. Chuck, I'm with you on like the nerves today. And it wasn't because of the injuries. I think I'm numb to that now. Like, it's even transferred over to the Cavs. Like, I don't even, we're not going to talk about the Cavs tonight, but like, you know, like we don't need our two best players or our three best players. What made me nervous today was that old Browns feeling of we're favored. Everybody expects us to win. Something bad is going to happen. And Denko makes a great point about how it didn't matter who was out there. They just kept making plays. And I know that we're looking back a little bit on an easy part of the schedule where they beat the Bears, the Texans, and tonight the Jets. But you can't say enough about how well this team appears to be prepared and ready for whatever comes every single week. This is not a team backing into the playoffs. It looks like they are getting better every week. And I know it's against teams that maybe aren't playoff teams, but they're winning those games and they're winning them decisively. The offense was great in the first half. It was nice to see the running game get going a little bit. I'm really concerned about the Browns' ability to run the ball in the playoffs, and the turnovers kill you in the playoffs. Defense solid again, especially in the second half, but the chunk plays, giving up big running plays, that's a concern looking ahead. And maybe that's the best part about tonight, is that we can talk about our concerns for what the Browns are going to do in the playoffs, because they've done such a great job of winning and taking care of business during the regular season. Like, it really has been unlike anything I think we've seen in the Browns since like Bernie's years in the regular season. This is a better team, a team I'm more confident in than the team that Baker took the playoffs a couple of years ago. All around good stuff. But can't say enough about how well they've been playing lately and what they've done to put themselves in this position. Tonight's game was an Amazon special. I will tell you, pregame, terrible. Postgame, I'm probably terrible too. But Amazon did a nice job of highlighting rock and roll in Cleveland. So what was the best music going into a commercial during tonight's broadcast? During one break, it was Life is a Highway by Tom Cochran. There was another one where it was More Than a Feeling by Boston. At one point, there was an unidentifiable song that I'm fairly certain was something by Bachman Turner Overdrive. Last one I remember was Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. So which one of those was the best music interlude leading into a commercial?
Well, first of all, Amazon gurus, you've got all this historical music coming out of the city of Cleveland or referencing the city of Cleveland, and you don't choose any of it. You're choosing Boston, and come on, like we could have had some Cleveland ties there, right? In that rock and roll stuff. But anyway, the best of that, I'm going to say Sweet Child of Mine, because the rest of them suck or were unidentifiable. I'll be fair. I wasn't listening to the bumper music when I was watching the game, because I was kind of watching it as I was putting the boys to bed and then, you know, coming home. So I don't know what the mood was when they were playing each of those songs. Maybe that would sway me in a different direction.
Man, do I fucking hate Life is a Highway. I hate that song.
It's the worst thing about your entire personality. It's the worst thing about you. I've known you for a long time. That is the worst thing about you.
I'm not a huge fan of Guns N' Roses either. I guess I go with More Than a Feeling. I think that song's like 6 or 7 minutes, so I'm glad you only got a little piece. But I do like the part where it just hollows out with like the guitar and you can like clap along to it. So I'll go with that, even though like Phil, I really wasn't paying much attention to the bumper music.
I had no idea it was called bumper music. So that's good to know. Yeah. I'm going to hold on to that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to convince you both that you're right, or that you want to go with More Than a Feeling, because they were playing like one of the great parts of that song right after Flacco threw the touchdown to Elijah Moore. And they showed like a shot of him in slow motion, like raising his hands up, and it was playing that song, and it was really good. It was really good. All right, let's talk about the game. Who is your most valuable Brown, the original MVP from tonight's game?
I'm gonna go with Flacco again, just because I can't believe what I'm seeing every week. 300 yards in the first half, 3 touchdowns. Again, I'll mention he seemed very mobile. And I guess like finding a good quarterback's like finding a good woman when you know, and you just know with him, like you're never nervous with him. So I think for now, the third week in a row, possibly, I'll give it to Flacco because I think Phil will give the third week in a row to the other guy.
I love that Chuck's about to pop the question to Joe Flacco after three weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't blame you, man. Chuck's not wrong with the Njoku option, right? Like that guy is having a season in the last 3 to 4 games of the season. Yeah. Like he really is putting together. I mean, at one point in tonight's game, he was on pace for like 500 yards of receiving toward the end of the first quarter. So he has turned into the guy that we hoped he would be, right? Before the season started, he has turned into that guy. I'd like to give it to Njoku, but man, Taki had 16 tackles in tonight's game. Oh. We need linebacker play like that if Walker can't make a start, right? Like we need Taki to come in. Half of that would have been good. He had 16 tackles in tonight's game. So because I've never brought his name up all season, I'm going to give it to Sione Taki. I think that guy deserves it today.
No wrong answers, I think, for the Browns today. Taki is great. I think JOK had like 10 tackles today too, and like 3 of them were for losses and stuff like that. I think Taki also knocked down a pass. I mean, they really great play from those guys, and I think especially JOK, we've seen it now for like 6 weeks in a row. That guy has been solid to great every week. So I love the Taki call. So I'll go with Njoku. Because I was somebody, and I've said it a few times before, didn't believe in him at the beginning of the year. Didn't believe he was going to be a guy who, you know, could live up to what we are constantly told he could do, and he's doing it. At the most important time of the season, he's actually had a really solid year pretty much from beginning to end this year. But the last few weeks, that's a superstar type of guy. So he gets my MVP for this week. Let's talk a little bit of money. What was your Browns bet for this game?
My Browns bet today was a meager 4-level parlay, which in my mind, I almost
conservative Denko. Yeah, heading into the new year.
I kind of had to do it last minute. You know, game's kicking off at 8:15. I better get this bet in because I had a previous bet with Cooper was prominent in my bet. And as soon as he was announced out, I'm like, oh shit, let's make a real bet tonight now. So my 4-level parlay, Joe Flacco, 200 yards passing. David Njoku, 50 yards receiving. JOK, 2 tackles. Joe Flacco, 2 touchdown passes. All 4 of those things happened before the first quarter ended.
Yeah.
And that was a plus 325 bet.
Nice.
Yeah, not bad.
I think I'm going to use a lot of a slow and steady, I think, wins the race here when it comes to betting. So I've been riding the pass attempt Flacco train for like 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
DraftKings is spicy again. It was like 32.5. I'm like, for sure. That's obviously that did not happen. And I've never been this okay with losing a bet. So I'm glad Phil hit his huge parlay. And Gerb, I hope you hit yours. But I think I'm saving my big bet for next week when hopefully nobody's playing.
Oh, we're going to get to it. All right. So mine was Flacco over 175 yards passing, hit in the first half, obviously.
First quarter.
Ford over 46.5 rushing yards, first half again. And Njoku, plus 25 receiving yards, hit on his first catch. One of the things I've never bet before and seemed like a good idea tonight and maybe something I will consider again in the future, Browns first to score 10 points. That hit also right away. Especially with like the Browns defense, that should be something we look at more. All of those hit in the first half. And then I had JOK over 3.5 solo tackles. And I had to wait until the fourth quarter for that one to hit, but it finally did. I think he ended up with like 5 or 6 when it was all said and done, but that was plus 435. Not a bad little Gerbuck call making up for last week when I lost money on my bet. And I lost money on Tammy's bet. So it was nice to make some up right there.
But the that's family's whole again.
We're going to be okay. All right. So this is now officially the Browns' 4th playoff appearance since 1990. What is your one word hot take on Kevin Stefanski and the job he has done as head coach of the Browns this season?
This is going to come out of my mouth. Masterful.
Explain.
Oh, you said one word.
You know, but this is, I don't know. I feel like this is what we always do. We do the one word hot take, but then you get like a little bit to flesh it out a little bit.
We all had concerns with Coach Kev coming into the season that he tries to be the cutest guy or the smartest guy in the room at times. He calls weird plays sometimes. The triple option reverses, all that stuff. And this year, what's happened with this team with the injuries, and Phil kind of said it, I think both of you said it earlier, they never seem like they're not prepared for a game. No matter if it's 4 days or 7 days or you're coming off a bye, whatever it is, offensively, this guy has had four quarterbacks win. He has resurrected a guy who was sitting on a couch 6 weeks ago, and he looks like the best quarterback I've ever seen in a Browns uniform in the last 25 years. He has to get some credit here. His play calling has been brilliant at times, and he's just elevated guys on this team who I didn't think were all that great. Quarterback play is a huge thing here, but I didn't think Cooper was going to be that guy that he is this year. I thought Njoku would have a great season. I didn't think he was going to have it, what he's had this four-game run here. You lose your weapons, an offensive genius as a head coach. You lose the biggest weapons you have, not just one of them, two of them, then three of them.
Player on the team. Yeah, Nick Chubb was the best football player on this team, and he was gone week two.
Right, and you still keep winning. And today's a really good microcosm of why I think it's masterful. An hour and a half before the game, Cooper is out. So what we've seen the past couple of weeks with those deep balls, those aren't going to happen. And I'm thinking, what are they going to do? They're going to run a lot of screens. They're going to bunch formation. They're going to do misdirection. No, not really. They just ran the ball when they needed to run the ball. Flacco made plays when he needed. And the guys, finally, your positional players with the ball in their hands, made great plays. So he's done such a great job this year. And there were times where I was against that dude. But if he is not coached, and I don't think he's going to be, because I think Dan Campbell's probably going to win it, which is okay for our Lions.
Yeah.
How is this dude not coach of the year? For a city that didn't love him, they should be kissing his fucking ass from now, maybe through midway till next season. And then, you know, there's something going on and they're like, he's got to go. But he's the right dude for this team this year. And kudos. I can't speak highly enough of this man this season and the job that he's done.
That was really good. I don't want this to go to Kev's head, so I'm going to bring it. I'm going to bring it back a little bit. You know, can't keep him humble. No. Keep him humble. I need him to be
overrated.
Humble.
What's your word?
My one word, because I need him to remain humble and I want him to be hungry through the playoffs and into the next few seasons, is growth. The word is growth. We certainly saw it out of that guy this year, without a doubt. And on every level, to all of Chuck's points, where the way he game planned and in a masterful approach to what do I have out there and how do I win this football game this week? He did it all year, and you saw the growth there, because early on, like the DTR start was a good example. They're running a game plan like, wait, this doesn't seem to fit his talent, right? But at the end of the day, he trotted four quarterbacks out there, none of which have the same skill set or experience or ceiling or any of that, right? And he found a way for this offense to work. Oh, and by the way, we're also going to decimate your offensive line, get rid of your running backs, and your receivers are never going to play together in any given game. So growth from the in-game stuff, I think, for sure, we saw that this year. And again, a very young head coach. And growth with letting his fellow coaches do their job and do it really well. From Schwartz on the defensive side, Ventrone with the special teams this year, whatever it might be, right? Coughlin with the O-line. And I get the sense that he's working his way into the idea that I am the CEO of this football team. I support myself and my growth with getting the right people in these positions beneath me, and I let them do their thing. I let Schwartz make this defense what he wants to make it. I'll deal with the 72-yard bomb every now and again as a head coach, because we're stopping a team eight times on three and out in the course of a game. So I really think Kevin Stefanski, again, very young coach, pretty sure he's younger than the three of us, growth for sure as this season has gone on.
I like growth a ton. Chuck, after his one word, used the word elevated. I like that a lot. I'm going to go with boss. Because I said at the beginning of the year, what I wanted to see him be was that true CEO of the team. I think we've seen it. We've definitely seen him get better as a coach. And we've seen this interesting thing happen where at one point during this season, when things were a little bit shaky, there was a legitimate question about, do you want this like cerebral calm thinking football coach like Stefanski, or do you want like the leader of men like Coach Campbell in Detroit? And there's something to be said for, like, I don't think anybody's going to accuse Campbell of being like an offensive strategic genius, but he gets his guys to go out and want to kill for him. And I think what you start to see from Stefanski is, in his way, he's got these guys doing it. They're buying in. And I think it's because of that preparation and the improvement that we've seen from him from the last few years and even game to game this year in the play calling, that these guys are – this team is all in on what Stefanski wants to do. And he's not going to be like a screamer and a spitter like Campbell. But I think these guys want to play for him. And you just can't – you can't beat the results, man. You can't do it. Like, absurd what he has done. So – boss of this team. I think we have seen Kevin Stefanski grow into his position as the head coach of this football team, especially this season. All right, let's look ahead. In this time of year, as we start the new year, I want to give you some reasons to hope legitimately for the Browns to make the Super Bowl. So I want you to consider this, as we've talked all these weeks, week after week after week, of all of the injuries the Browns have suffered. This year, my fantasy team lost Joe Burrow and Kenny Pickett to injury, lost Justin Jefferson for almost the entire season to injury, lost Tank Dell to the IR for the entire season, lost Dustin Hopkins just this week, lost Amari Cooper tonight, and I made our league championship. Now, I'm not saying I'm as good as Kevin Stefanski, but a lot of people are. Now, scale of 1 to 5, 1 being the dawn of a new day and a new year, 5 being Hugh Jackson's tenure as the Browns head coach, how hopeful does my improbable run to the Fantasy League Championship make you for the Browns postseason?
In the parentheses, after your team, it's like 5-8 or 4-9 or something.
I've got a losing record and I'm in the championship.
Yeah. I'll be honest. It sparks a little bit of hope. A little bit of hope.
That's all I needed. Moving on.
I didn't even give you a number. I mean, it's certainly not the dawning of a new day, 1, which was the low end of the scale, but the high end of the hope, right? I think I was tracking there, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. All right. And then Hugh at the other end at 5. So that's hopeless. That's absolutely hopeless. I'm going to, you know what? Against all odds, though, you're there. You get to play for the championship. It doesn't matter what your record was going into that. It doesn't matter how many quarterbacks you trotted out there to score 40 some points a game against the Iceman of the league or whoever it was, right? It doesn't matter. You're playing for the trophy. So the more I talk, my hope is eked up. I'm going to give you a 2 on that scale. Right. I'm on the hope side.
That's not bad. Will you cut one of your good wide receivers so I can fill in for Amari Cooper? Just don't tell Shantz. Go ahead, Chuck.
I'll cut them all.
Please do.
I mean, I'm just happy that on December 29th at 12:03 a.m., I get to hear Hugh Jackson's name after the Browns clinch a playoff spot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll go all the way up to a 4 just for that reason, to stay away from Hugh Jackson, as far as I could possibly get you away from
Hugh Jackson. Well, Hugh was 5.
That's the other end.
Hugh was 5.
I'm going to go 2 then, because that seems math. I'll go 2.
All right, fellas, next week, Browns close out the regular season, which has come way too fast, with a road game in Northern Kentucky against the Bengals. Preseason, every single one of us picked the Browns to lose. Now, this game is truly meaningless. Even if the Bills, who are the closest team in the AFC playoff hunt to the Browns, even if they win their next 2 games, and the Browns were to lose next week to the Bengals, the Browns would still be locked in for the 5 seed because they have a better record against the AFC than the Bills. So next week against the Bengals, do you sit starters and anyone older than 38 on the roster for that game?
Yes. When you say this late in the year for a team that's really banged up, and if it's meaningless, I say either you sit everybody, you treat it like a preseason game. Week 3 of the preseason, you give them 1 series, and then have your seat, unless, you know, like you're in the trenches. Those guys will probably play a little bit more. So I see no reason for Joe Flacco to be playing, or anybody else who is banged up. This is a blessing. They clinched tonight, and you have that many days now where you can get healthy. So sit them all. Actually, don't even go. You don't even need to play the game.
Forfeit. I love it. Don't even risk an accident on the bus.
Yeah, man, nothing good happens in the Queen City. So yeah, just stay home. Stay home. Yeah. No, you know what? If there is no chance of changing your seating up or down, I don't even let the starters play. Like not even that series. Like don't, what does it matter? Right. Yeah. If you can't, maybe it gives you some hesitation if there's a chance you drop in seating based on matchups. But even then, I think you look at the fact that the team is decimated with injury. Get these guys some rest. Let them heal up. Our bye happened so long ago, it felt like 2022, right? Like, let them get an end of the year bye before they've got to go and play the most meaningful game of the season. The only way I think you play the starters is if the Ravens are losing and you got a chance to move into that one seed or the division championship or the division crown, right? So that's it. Other than that, sit these guys. Let them heal up.
So I guess that really is the more complicated question. If the Ravens lose to the Dolphins this week, do you play your starters against the Bengals because you've got a shot to win the division and maybe get the one seed?
I think that's the only time you really step back and consider it, right? Because that makes
do you, though. Make a call. Don't just think about it. Would you do it? Would you play Flacco? Would you play Myles Garrett? Would you play Ford? Would you?
So here's what I are. So
the JOK, Taki. What about Walker? What if Walker is ready to be back? If you've got a shot to win the division, do you play those guys?
The Ravens end the season against the Steelers in Baltimore, where in this scenario that's unfolding in front of us, that game is going to mean more to Baltimore than they would anticipate. So they're going to play their starters because they win and they're the number one seed, right? I don't have a lot of confidence that this iteration of the Pittsburgh Steelers could go into Baltimore and hang with Lamar Jackson for even half a quarter the way the Ravens are playing. So I think given that scenario, here's my compromise. I'm going to dress my starters, but I'm not going to start my starters. They're going to warm up. They're going to be ready to go. And I'm going to scoreboard watch for a little bit, I guess. I don't know. That's a hard one, man, because I would imagine they're probably both 1 o'clock games, right? Yeah. They're probably same time. Yeah. Ugh. I don't know. Maybe I look at the luck or lack thereof this Browns team's had this season, and let's not get any more people hurt. And we're in the playoffs. We're good with five. We're going to go play the champion of the AFC South. We're okay with that. I'm sitting everybody.
Very possibly old Browns fan psychology right there. Yeah. I'm not saying I disagree with it. But, I mean, that's what it is. It's like, hey, I think I'm happy at five, and it ain't worth risking it for one. I don't know.
So if you get the one seed, you don't play that first weekend, right?
You get a bye. Yep. Yeah.
So you're talking about starters then. Well, no, because they would have to play the Bengals
game. They have to play the Bengals game, so they wouldn't get that break, yeah.
I don't think it's a Brown psyche thing. I'd much rather play the winner of the AFC South than whoever
wins. Yeah.
Yeah, like who's the – I don't know – what that game would look like, who would play the number one seed. You know, I have no idea, but I'd much rather play the AFC South. So I'm happy. I'm just happy we're here, man. Like I'll take that five seed. I don't need number one. Let's relax a little bit, get healthy and go play in Jacksonville.
I'm not sure if it's the right answer when you're talking about, you know, competitive professional sports, but I think I'm sitting everybody next week, no matter what. I don't have any confidence. I'm with Phil. Even though the Steelers might be playing so that Mike Tomlin doesn't have a losing record for the first time in his career, blah, blah, blah. And even though it's a division game and anything can happen, blah, 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 I'm on the Ravens. And so I think the Browns should sit Flacco and Garrett, maybe sit some of those linebackers, you know, maybe sit Ford, you know, let Strong get a bunch of carries, something like that. Like I think they should seriously be considering sitting these guys no matter what against the Bengals, get their rest. Cause once you're in the playoffs, man, it's a whole new season. It's a fresh start. I say, sit everybody next week. I'm with Denko. Don't even send the bus. Oh, we lost. What a shame. We're all home in our hyperbolic chambers getting ready for the playoffs. All right. So obviously there's no way we could have predicted the circumstances of where the Browns would be next week. Anybody want to change their pick that the Browns are losing to the Bengals next week?
I have them as a loss, right?
We all do, right?
We all picked them to lose. Yep.
Yeah, I want to change it. I don't care who the fuck's playing. The way this season's going.
There we go. They're gonna,
They might get
PJ Walker's getting another win.
PJ Walker, Bell might have a career day with like 18 yards receiving. Like, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna switch it to a W.
I'm absolutely switching it to a W. And here's why. This is the team of destiny. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're going to elevate 100% of the practice squad and go down to Cincinnati and beat the shit out of them in front of their shitty fans that don't show up to the game until 12:45 or when, you know, it's exactly. I don't care. This is the team of destiny. PJ Walker and Pierre Strong are going to lead this team to a 21-20 victory.
Well, I wasn't going to change my pick, but you've convinced me. So we're all in. We're all changing our picks. No matter who shows up, it's like the strike season. The scab Browns could show up, and it's going to be like the replacements. Keanu's going to quarterback the Browns to a win. It's going to be fantastic. Sorry, Cincinnati. Congratulations, awesome. Cleveland Browns, on clinching the playoff spot this year. What a ride this season has been. It's been a lot of fun. But, fellas, before we go, we are still trying to pick winners in our College Bowl Pick'em Challenge.
Oh, no.
And we got games starting at 11 tomorrow morning, so we need to make some picks. Current standings, I'm leading with 5 points. Burke, Denko, and Tammy are tied together at 4. Whitney is still beating Chuck.
Oh.
First game of the weekend, the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, Clemson -4.5 versus Kentucky. Clemson famous alum, Mark Tremonti, lead guitarist from Creed. Kentucky famous alum, Elizabeth Ann Hewlett, best known as Miss Elizabeth. Macho Man Randy Savage, manager in the 80s. So, slaying on the guitar or slaying George the Animal Steel? Who you got in the Tax Slayer Bowl?
I'll take Clemson. Kentucky is a basketball school. I don't care if they're a top 25 program in football. And even though a very young Chucky Rambaldo will be disappointed picking against Miss Elizabeth, because that might have been the first woman I ever loved. But I'm gonna still stick with Clemson.
Ooh, yeah. That's what I'm going with. Miss Elizabeth and the Kentucky Wildcats, baby.
I'm with you on Elizabeth. Very intriguing to like a 9-year-old Jason Gerber. But, man, Creed does not get enough run as a great band. So I'm going with Clemson.
Why is that?
As well. I'm confused. All right. Later in the evening tomorrow, well, actually, it'll be today by the time this episode comes out, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, 7 o'clock Friday night, Ohio State Buckeyes -3 over Missouri. How about some legal trivia? According to the internet, Ohio has a law that prohibits anyone from being arrested on the 4th of July. Also, what? According to the – yeah, no Sorry. Arrests on the 4th of July. Also, according to the internet, it's illegal to have oral sex in the state of Missouri. So, anything goes on the 4th of July or the most selfish place on the planet? Who you got?
Anything goes on the 4th of July. I don't even know who am I pulling for there? The Buckeyes then?
Yeah
right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, anything goes on the 4th of July every day of the rest of the year.
I can't believe that's right. That I could literally knock over a bunch of Circle K's on the 4th of July and be not be arrested. But still, I got to.
You live in Pennsylvania. That's your problem.
Yes, but I'm also 25 minutes from Ohio. Yeah, right. I can be in Ashtabula in 30 minutes.
Beulah's in trouble.
Yeah. but I'll take the Buckeyes, man. The Buckeyes are – I had no idea they're playing tomorrow. It's really early in the bowl season for them to be playing, so I'll still take them. Go Tom Burke.
I don't believe in their position on this. In fact, I'm quite the opposite. But I think I'm going to go with Missouri because Ohio State's quarterback isn't there anymore, and I don't think Marvin Harrison is playing tomorrow. I don't know. I'm going with Missouri. I'm not for anything of the legal things. All right, moving on. We're actually maybe later in the bowl season than you think, because the last two games we're going to pick are – College football playoff game. So the first one is the Rose Bowl, New Year's Day, 4 p.m., Michigan, -1.5 versus Alabama. Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh thinks that sleep is the number one natural steroid. Alabama head coach Nick Saban loves the Weather Channel. So, annoying fake nutritionist or annoying fake meteorologist? Who you got?
Man, say Alabama, we say Roll Tide. And I might have to watch Crimson Tide at some point because it's been probably a good six months to a year. Yeah. It's been a minute. That's never on TNT or TBS. So I'm gonna pick Alabama.
I'm going with Coach Saban because he used to coach the Cleveland Browns and it's the team of destiny.
I'm going with Alabama as well. I'm just would never pick the Wolverines to win anything. I hope Alabama wins by 50. All right, moving on. Sugar Bowl, also January 1st, 8 o'clock at night. Texas -4 versus Washington. The University of Texas is in Austin, Texas. 2005, Real World Austin on MTV. The cast was required to make a documentary film for the South by Southwest event. Washington is in Seattle. 1998, Real World Season 7. The cast did promotional work for KNDD and then also on-air work for that alternative radio station. So, bad Real World movie or bad Real World radio? Who you got?
I can't believe I wasted that much time watching The Real World back then because I'm pretty sure I probably watched both seasons.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll take Texas. Yeah. I mean, I hate that I have to pick first since I'm literally in the basement of this bowl challenge. I need to go against what you guys are doing. But I'll take Texas.
So Texas -4. Man, this is an interesting game. I want this to be exciting for our bowl challenge. I'm going to go with Washington. I'm going to pick against Texas for no reason other than the fact that Chuck might get a win here and catch up or pass me, right? Like it'll make it exciting for the last week. So I'll go with Washington. I don't care about any of the Real World stuff and I know nothing about that team. And I can't believe they're ranked number two. What's happening here?
I'm going with Texas. People in Texas love football. People in Washington like coffee and grunge music. No, thank you. I'm going with Texas all the way. Fellas, we are out of time. I am out of questions for now. And we just did the whole show without mentioning that the misery index is at its lowest point since the pandemic and is now well below its average for the last century. With that news, the population of Northeast Ohio will continue to drive that number down as long as the Steelers keep starting Mason Rudolph. I hope you have a great week and let's get together and do this again real soon.
Absolutely.
You know, Denko, I think that you're... I can't remember what you said that I agreed with.
Everything. We should be friends.
We should.
Yeah. Give me a second while I pull it up. Just got to recognize my face. There we go.
I'm glad yours works.
Chuck's yours works.
Yeah, well, they make sure mine work with the ridiculous bets I place on a daily basis. I can make sure this guy's account is active. All right, here we go. My fantasy league keeps updating Elijah Moore's injury quicker than the real news is updating Elijah Moore's injury.
It had to be a concussion, right? That's what I assumed that it was.
Yeah.
I don't know if I heard anything that they said about it.
I think they said concussion.
Okay.
That sucks. But man, I'll tell you what, like he's now got like 17 days maybe to rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're not going to worry about bringing that guy out of the protocol to play next week. We're going to get to that too. But I love it. Shirtless people in Cleveland hanging out.
Heck yeah. It's actually for this time of year. It's
I know exactly.
Warm,
so. Yeah. It's not even, you're not even that cool, dude. Like I was more impressive with my shirt off on the Sunday afternoon Indians game we went to after prom senior year because it was like 35 degrees outside for the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we've had a run of 60 degree days. Right now it's in the low 40s, but still.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. All right, let's just get cracking on this thing. Yeah. All we want to do is talk about the Browns anyway.
Let's talk about the Browns.
Might as well get going. Good.
All right. I just got a picture of my coworker and her husband have opened a bottle of champagne. He opened it before the game ended. Oh, big balls on that guy. All right. Good.
Nah, the Jets stink. Oh, Trevor stink. Simeon stinks.
What was the second half? I'm sure we'll get to it. Was it a 3-3 tie in the second half? Oh, 6-3. We took the lead 6-3 at the end. Yeah.
Literally did anything but watch the second half. I know. That was like, comparatively, well, it was just so boring.
This we're going to get to it, but this is why gambling is fantastic because I think I got to look at it. It was either 4 or 5 legs. Everything hit in the first half except for one thing that I waited until the fourth quarter to hit. So I was actually paying quite a bit of attention on defense during the second half.
I was watching on my phone with Dylan a little bit and, you know, paying attention to the boys, but I didn't want to rub it in. I hit my parlay in the first quarter today.
Oh, jeez, oh, man.
I was so close.
Ford, yeah. Njoku, and
To be fair, I had 2 parlays on tonight's game. To be fair.
Phil, how close are you to the Circle K in Eastlake on Vine Street?
You can rob it on the 4th of July.
5 to 7 minute drive.
They just, like, ESPN Cleveland just put out that you can get, that's one of the locations to get your free clinch goggles between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. tomorrow while supplies last.
10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's a huge window. I'm going. That's right
while supplies last.
Yeah, so that's a Circle K on Vine Street. That's right across the street from the Lake County Captain Stadium. I could get there in 6 minutes.
Then you need to wear them for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
They look.
And you need to spray champagne on yourself every time the Browns win.
I am. Hold on. I'm putting a reminder in my phone right now.
I will send you this photo right now.
New reminder. What do you say is between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.?
10 and 4, but while supplies last.
Well, I will be there at 9:55 a.m. I need some gum or something, right? Circle K. Vine Street. I'll go visit my mom. She's another 5 minutes past that. It'll be good. Be a good day.
Clinch goggles, bringing families together, man.
As they should.
I love it.
I'm going to bring, I'm going to get 2 pairs, go to my mom's, make her wear one, and I'm bringing a full bottle of champagne. 10:15 in the morning.
Just bring the little one.
I don't want to mess
that'll
up.
That'll be way funnier. Okay. Well, we're done.
Oh man,
that's awesome. Clinch goggles.
Is Deshaun Watson the wrong quarterback for Kevin Stefanski's system? And is it what they really need is 25-year-old Joe Flacco stand in the pocket and just distribute everywhere?
I don't know. I don't think we know. We don't know.
I don't want to answer it. Yeah. Well,
but think of Deshaun's last game before they found out.
I know.
Inexplicably that
he was awesome.
In the second half of that Baltimore game, that dude was awesome.
He was incredible. Yep.
Yeah. Against a really good team. So
yeah.
I don't know. See him on the sideline today. That was good. I thought him and Chubb both on the sideline the whole time.
The only difference. They're both very talented in very different ways. But I think I said it last week or the week before, like, it's amazing what this offense looks like when you can operate under center. Those play fakes. It's ridiculous. And every week I see a play fake I've never seen before. Like the one he pulled off tonight, he switched hands. I was like,
he faked a toss and a handoff on like the same play. You're like, where's the ball? Yeah.
I don't know. I like the way this offense looks with a drop back passer who can operate under center. Yep. But I also respect Deshaun Watson's skill set because we've never had a quarterback who can move like he can. Yeah. He's that mobile.
And that's the thing is he should be better because he has the ability to run. Like I don't know that I think Flacco has more arm talent than Deshaun Watson. Watson's got a fucking cannon. I don't know, but it's interesting to see, is it just that, like, stand in the pocket and hit 9 different receivers during the game? Is that the kind of quarterback that runs best for Kevin Stefanski? I'm also sick of hearing announcers say that every time the Browns run the ball, oh, this is who they really want to be. Fuck you. Joe Flacco's first week as the Browns quarterback, he threw the ball like 45 times.
Yeah.
DTR's and his second first and third week. He yeah. threw it 45
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They are a throw first team that just happens to have Nick Chubb and the best offensive line in the NFL on the roster. You know what I mean? Like, they're not a run first team anymore.
I think it's crazy we had like 6 weeks for the first round and now it's every.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought yeah. this was going to be like a once a month thing. I like that pace.
Yeah.
So I can do nothing for 3 weeks and then be like, oh, okay, now I got to think about it.
Did you guys go back and read the results where they were not only like they put the results, they told you who picked what song and then yeah. you could read the comments on it too? Did you read any of the comments?
I did.
No.
Yeah, go back yeah, and read it, Gers. Yeah. Not everyone put comments, but some of them were pretty good.
Shots. I'm going to go back and look at that. Yeah. I'm going to go back and look at that, although I finished in last place.
It's the first week.
It's a marathon. It's yeah, a sprint. Like,
yeah. Marathon. Says the guy playing in the Super Bowl with a 4-9 record,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, right. 6-8. 6-8.
Whatever. 1-13 record.
Second Jackson football, reference baby. Tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Hugh.
Oh, man.
All right.
All right, guys. I'm ready to go to bed. This yeah. was great. Good to see you yeah. guys. Merry Christmas. You, Happy New Merry Year. Christmas.
Happy New Year, brothers.
Fucking go Browns.
Yeah. Go Browns. All right. Love you guys. Right. See you
later, boys. Later. Bye.
What do you mean I'm funny? Funny like a clown?